Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good morning, everybody. This is Eduardo, and welcome to Foodomania for Saturday. My gosh, it's October 6th, first Saturday in October. Thanks for tuning in to Foodomania today. Today is a great show. Today is part two of our last week's show, which is called Putting Your Garden to Bed. And without further ado, I would like to introduce my co-host for these special shows, Ms. Rhonda E. Rhonda, are you with me?
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, Rhonda, good. I'm glad that you made it today, and thanks for calling in from your location and being part of this great show with me, the master gardener that you are.
Well, I like to think I am, but I don't know about that.
Well, pretty darn good from what I've seen. Anyway, where we left off last week, we were absolutely at the point where we're letting our listeners know that it's getting close to that time. Now, of course, right now, in the beautiful Skagit Valley Northwest where we're located, it's about some of the most beautiful weather that I can remember in several years at this time of year. Our Indian summer is amazing. And we were discussing this earlier. You know, one of the things about putting your garden to bed I thought of that you might want to touch on is that even though it's time to just about start digging some stuff up, there are still lots of vegetables and things in the ground that you're going to be able to eat for a while. So that's, you know, some of the things I was thinking about are like carrots and garlic and leeks. And I remember having Brussels sprouts all the way into almost Thanksgiving. What's your feeling about that right now? Can you work around that as far as your garden is concerned and still leave some stuff in the ground?
You can still leave some things in there right now, like your carrots, like you said, your garlic, you know, your leeks, radishes and turnips and things like that. You know, you can start harvesting through the early winter if you want to. You just want to make sure you mark your rows, you know, just to make sure of your tall stalks, because you want to make sure that you're able to identify with the things that you've left in there. But, you know, it's not going to hurt those. Now, however, the things that you're going to want to pull up are going to be things like tomatoes, squash, and peas, and beans, things like that. Those are things you're going to want to take out of your garden and put them to bed. The other ones you can actually deal with, you know, in through the early winter.
Okay, great. So, in other words, so, and lots of times when you have, like, tomatoes or peas or beans and plants, things like that, can you keep that material for compost as long as you know, until the next year? I mean, what do you suggest if people don't have a compost bucket of some kind? What's an easy way to deal with all the leftover things that you're pulling up?
Well, I do the same thing pretty much probably next to everybody as far as, you know, pulling them up, your tomato, your squash, and peas and beans. You're able to use them as compost. However, you just want to make sure they're not diseased of any sort. You know, there's any kind of weirdness to the leaf itself.
How would you tell that?
You're going to notice your leaves, a healthy leaf from a healthy leaf to not a healthy leaf. If your leaves are green with a little bit of discolor, you know, and they still look like they're vital, those are the ones you want to keep. If you look at a leaf and you see a bunch of discolor, a lot of spots, a lot of questionable things, you know, as you've even eaten off of it, then you might want to ask yourself, you know, I don't know, and what the next course is going to be is you're going to take those leaves and you're going to either burn them or discard them somewhere separately from your compost.
Now, if you burn the leaves, I remember mentioning something to do with the burnt ash of the leaves. Is that usable stuff too?
Most definitely, yes, because you burned off any kind of form of disease or anything that could be a hardship to the plants for the following year. So what you could do is basically burn that, create yourself an ash pile, and then basically turn around, and when the spring hits, you can take that ash and you can turn around and mix it with your compost that you already have before you get ready to till the soil for the following year.
Great. While we're at the point, I want to let people know that they can call in excuse me, and they can ask a question of Rhonda and myself on this subject of putting your garden to bed. And the number to call in is 323-580-5779. And go ahead and feel free to call in if you have a question about your garden. So one of the things I'm thinking about is at this point in time, I know for me, I'm looking at rows and rows of beautiful flowers and dahlias, but you could see a little bit of, I could see a little bit of wilt in some of it, but at the same time, I see lots of you know, buds of flowers that are about to come out. In fact, over the last week or so, it seems like the productivity of the dahlias is like gone into hyperdrive. So how much time do I have really to continue to look at these beautiful flowers before I have to think about putting those plants to bed? I mean, what would be the first warning sign?
Your first warning sign would be when you see a frost that blackens the leaves. The leaves will turn black. Yes, so if you see that, then you really want to think about, you know, bringing them indoors. You know, and how you do that, you would just basically take, you know, a lot of people do this, you know, taking your plants and you dig them up carefully and let them dry indoors on a newspaper for a few days.
Okay.
And then you can pack in styrofoam moss or newspaper and store them. You can store the bulbs and the plants at a 40 degree to 50 degree until spring.
Really? Now, can you leave them in the ground?
Hmm?
Can you leave the bulbs in the ground?
You can leave the bulbs in the ground. If, you know, quite a few people do. Some people don't. It's a chance. It's all a chance. And what that means
so in
is
other
a
words,
chance.
Okay, so
what
you're saying is a chance.
What I would do if you're going to leave your dahlias in the ground, what I would do basically is, first of all, I would cut them down to the very to the very end of the ground, at least leaving maybe an inch of coming out of the ground, and then I would grab a black cloth or a black, it could be garbage bag, whatever you want to call it, and basically put a hole in between each dahlia. And then I would turn around and I'd put a mulch or I'd put a moss and I'd put hay over the top of it. And I would basically completely single off that complete garden that you have to make sure nothing's walking on it and to make sure nothing's able to get into the ground to cause any frost or any hardness to the ground to kill those bulbs down below. But usually in the Northwest, our temperatures vary. You know, we don't know what kind of a winter we're going to have. So, like I said, it's all a chance. You know, like my Grams, I think I said it last week, she used to take on some of her hardy flowers, chrysanthemums, dahlias, things like that, or whatever, and put dog bags over the top of them. She didn't dig them up. She just put the dog bags over the top when the hard winter came, you know. And she was one of the best gardeners I know, and they survived. But that isn't always the case. Some things don't survive. And so you just have to ask, would I be better off to take them and bring them in and place them in a secure place? You know, and make sure that they're there for the spring, or do I want to go ahead and just take a chance and leave the bulbs inside the ground and go ahead and create a warmth environment outside that basically keeps the bulbs from getting damaged?
Right. So, all right. So now say you pull them up, and as you said, do you store them in a warm, dry place? Do you put them in plastic bags? Will they get moldy or anything like that? Do you have to dry them out before you actually wrap them?
Well, your dahlia is going to dry out. Your dahlia is not going to remain a dahlia flower through the winter. What you're basically doing is you're drying the plant out. So basically what it is, it's going to be just a bulb. By the time spring comes and when you plant it again, the bulb is going to be ready to be put back into the ground.
I see. But yeah. I guess what I'm asking is, how do you store them? Do you store them in a box or do you let them be exposed to the air?
You can pack them in styrofoam. Dry peat
right,
moss or shredded newspaper and store in the dark. So basically,
okay,
what you're going to do is you're going to wrap these items around the bulb.
I see.
Yes.
Okay, great. Now, at the same point at this time, there are some things like are not going to come back. So, you know, you were talking about this as well as harvesting some seeds, and can we go over that again a little bit because. Isn't it true that, you know, in the garden at this point in time, there's a mecca of beautiful seeds that we can hang on to. So can we talk about that a little bit? What plants are you talking about specifically that you can harvest seeds from, and then keep, and how would you store those for next year?
Well, you've got your obviously your vegetables, your peas, you've got your nasturtiums. Those seeds are ready. Basically, what you're able to do is take all of those seeds on those plants, and even some of your flowers that you have outside, you know, your perennials or whatever, and your thyme and all of those things. And basically what you're going to do, and I think I said last week, one, a few of the herb things you're going to take and you're going to cut them probably maybe 4 or 5 inches off the plant, and you're going to take those and you can wrap a little rubber band on the end of it or whatever, and then you're going to go hang those for 2 or 3 weeks to basically have your herbs. Now, for your flowers, now, mind you, like the nasturtiums right now, there's just nothing but a seed on the end of the nasturtium. There's maybe just a few flowers on them right now. You know,
right.
Nasturtiums are edible, too, to eat. So they're actually considered a flower, you know, edible eating flower, but they're beautiful. So, but the seed, if you notice on the end of them, they're really big seeds by the time they're ready to go to it. You're able to take those off of the flower. Now you're going to take that and you're going to put it on a paper cloth and you're going to leave it in for about 2 or 3 days just with a nasturtium. And then you can put it in an envelope. You can stick it in a bag as long as it's in a dry area. And by the time spring comes, the nasturtium seeds are going to be ready to plant as well. That's pretty much the way it is with every seed or flower that you have. You just have to take the time to place them on a paper cloth for a few days or so and then put them in a bag. And just leave them in the bag, mark them what they are, and then get ready to plant them the following year.
Fantastic. Now, things like chives and thyme and rosemary and sage, those herbs, a lot of those you can basically just, dig up some and pot it and then let it, you know, let all the leaves die down and then, and then basically you keep them indoors and then you water it during the winter and then you can actually use, like, things like chives. You can put them in a pot and bring them inside for the winter and they'll keep growing. Is that true?
Well, chives are really hardy perennials. You can dig them up in a clump and pot them. You can let the foliage die and freeze for several weeks. You can bring the pot inside your house in a sunny, cool spot and just continue to water well and harvest them through the winter. Chives are a beautiful plant to bring inside. If you know you're willing to bring, you can bring your plants inside. That is something anybody can do if you have an area or a place, you know, for your plants. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the 40 to 50 degree temperature is what we're looking at. Thyme is fairly indestructible. It's a perennial. It definitely will go dormant in the fall, but it'll revive itself in the spring. So thyme is something you can leave in your pot. You don't necessarily have to bring it in. Rosemary is just it needs to be sheltered outside, so you need to shelter it somehow. You can pot it as well. You know, it just depends. I'm a firm believer that if you can bring your herbs and your flowers inside and you have a place to put them, you know, better to do that than take a chance. But there are ways of being able to, watch them and make sure that they basically are not going to be killed through the winter as well. So you just have to kind of baby your plants is what we call it.
Baby, and that's it. So a couple other things real quick, because I want to talk about a little bit of foods and relate to that. Cause this is such a great subject. We could spend hours talking about it. Berries and things like that. I know that, you know, if you live in a certain area where we have blackberries, you know, if they're uncontrolled or raspberries, you know, you sort of trim them and then they're going to go to sleep and they're going to die off and you have those thick, you know, thickets and the thorns and all that. Is there an important way to, put your raspberries to sleep and stuff? You have to prune them and cut them back because they usually come right back. How do you do that?
Prune the babies.
So, in other words, you can, if you're planting, you're putting berries to sleep, like strawberry beds, you just cover that, you cover those, right, for the winter, for instance?
Yes.
And then as far
yes.
as the, okay, so what do you just cover, what do you use for that?
Well, with strawberries, you can do that. With raspberries and blackberries and those things, you don't have to cover them. You can use straw or hay to cut Do you just use straw or hay to cover the ground? The whole purpose of it is the ground. It's not so much the plant on the outside, it's the ground itself.
Okay.
So what you can do is you can cover the strawberries, you can cover the blackberries, and you can cover the raspberries with a straw down below the ground. But what you can do with the plant is by pruning the plant, is you basically can turn around and cut as much as you want. It may look like there's nothing left. Maybe you just are going to leave six of the strongest canes from the row of blackberries or raspberries that you have. Next year, those are going to come up twice as hardy. So the pruning is also a very important part of berries because you think, you know, gosh, if I cut that all the way back, there won't be anything left. It's kind of like a rose bush. When you cut a rose bush back, you go, wow, there's nothing left. There's only 2 inches, 3 inches off the ground, and it was such a big plant.
Sure.
Well, the thing is when spring hits, that thing's going to be 3 or 4 times what it was the following year because you pruned it, you took care of it, you cut off all the dead parts of it, you cut off all the diseased areas of it, and now you've got strong hay covering the root, you're taking care of that baby. And so next year is going to be 3 or 4 times what it was because you took care of it and did it the proper way.
Nice. Somebody told me that if you get, like, around here, we have some pine trees, that sort of thing, and the trees, you know, we get that wind going and branches are coming down. And I know lots of times, of course, we keep some of those branches, like we'll use them during Thanksgiving or Christmas for decoration and stuff. But is it true that those pine branches and things like that make actually a good covering mulch as well? You can actually lay some of those branches and leaves or mulch on top of plants as well, and that works pretty good?
Yeah, you can do it on top of the root, you know, just to make sure that nothing gets in once again through the soil. Some people do that. Some people just disregard it. You know, for look-wise, I mean, a lot of people, as far as that are getting into their, you know, putting your garden to rest or just even having any type of garden or plants or flower beds, are wanting them to look, you know, sort of cleaned up as well because in the wintertime there's not really a whole lot to look at. If you're a nice and tidy and needy person, a lot of people go for the peat moss or they go for the hay because they don't want, you know, the sticks and things like that. Plus, if you have animals in the yard too, that kind of thing as well, they could be flying around the yard. But, yes, there are people that have actually done that, yes.
Okay, now, real quickly, before we go into, like, sort of summarizing all your tools and organizing that stuff, we have some people who are listening just have the garden boxes. I've gotten some response from some people who build garden boxes. That was one of our first shows that we did way back in April about starting your own garden box. Now, if somebody has a garden box, it sounds like it's the same thing. If you're using your garden box for tomatoes and things like that, you do what you said. Herbs, same thing. Do you have to treat the soil and cover your garden box for the winter as well?
I would. That would be something that
talking about garden boxes or raised beds, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I would. You're gonna want to basically, you know, toil the soil. Once again, like I said, anything that's been in your beds, you're gonna want to be able to toil the soil. You're gonna want to compost. You're gonna want to mulch. If you've leaked anything in there, you're gonna want to be able to put, you know, mulch or compost or hay or any of that kind of stuff over the roots. It's no different than a garden. It's really the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is basically different. It's in a raised bed. It's not, you know, in the ground like a normal garden, but it's still a garden, however, so you want to treat it the same. And pretty much just, you know, I don't know what most people grow in their garden boxes. It seems to be herbs and sometimes even big, you know, squashes and things like that, zucchinis and things like that as well. So you're going to want to do the same. You're going to want to do the same exact thing. You're going to want to go look at the plant, the things that you need to remove now, and the things that you can keep in there are fine. But you're still going to want to toil the soil. You're still going to want to pull up those things that need to come up, as we talked about earlier.
Sure.
And then you're going to want to maintain. You know, a lot of people. This is probably going to be the biggest thing. Maybe a lot of people don't realize, but you know, just because we're putting our garden to rest, to sleep, so to speak, those plants that we're going to leave in there. You know, carrots and leeks and things like that, you know, if you choose to leave that in there until early winter, we're still going to want to continue to water those. You're still going to want
to... Oh, even in the winter? Really?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. A lot of people
don't think that... So, and when you say continue to water until it gets frozen?
You're going to want to continue to water them so that they get a drink they have to go down to the root. When you consider frozen is on top source, on top of the soil. The idea of the plant is to make sure that the plant is still receiving the water that it needs down below. So you're still going to need to water. So a lot of people don't realize that. But, yeah, that's one of the biggest reasons why a lot of things end up not making it, because we tend to not water. We stop because it's winter. We think frozen. We think, you know, but you need to continue to water until you hit that first winter.
I see. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Now,
Now,
let's talk about, I'll talk about this quick because I've been thinking about this. All your odds and ends, like, now, as you're done for the season, we want to make sure that a lot of people don't think about this, but you want to do things like take your weed eater, if you have one, and a lawnmower, drain all that for the winter,
yes.
Right? Get all your fuel out of that, clean it up, scrub down all your tools and stuff, you know, make sure you don't leave leaves around them, and take all your, you know, your buckets and stuff like that, and keep the tools in the garage or something like that, all your nozzles, take all your outdoor containers and empty those so they don't crack in the winter, and you can just turn them upside down, that sort of thing. One thing I read that I thought was, you know, pretty interesting, and I love this little thing. We're talking about trees. A lot of people will have live Christmas trees, you know, and then
right.
All of a sudden Christmas is over and you want to save that tree or you want to plant it. A lot of people say, oh, gosh, you plant it, but the ground is so hard. Somebody said, one good idea is now, you know, as you're preparing, you know, to shut down everything for the winter, find a place where you in your yard where you're going to want to plant that Christmas tree for the winter so you can use it next year. And actually dig the hole in the ground before it actually starts freezing. And you have it all ready to go. So by the time you're done with Christmas, you can actually have the hole built. You don't have to worry about the frozen soil. You can stick that puppy right back into the ground and cover it up with dirt, and there you go. You don't have to sweat it out. A little tip for Christmas trees.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, what do you think of that? That's the Foodomania fact. probably a lot of people thought about because I read it, so there you go. And that's really, really a fun thing. You want to sort of do a walkthrough, I imagine, when you're all is said and done, make a little list if you have to, and just sort of walk
right.
through and make sure everybody is cozy for the winter. Your hoses, you want to make sure you flush out your hoses and make sure they're all drained well and try to store those inside because they tend to crack in the winter. Your sprinklers and things like that. Just gather everything up because, you know, the winter is hard, especially in certain parts of the country. So you want to take your hard-earned money on all your little tools and things like that and try to find a good indoor dry space to store everything and get yourself all ready for the following year. I know many times I've left hoses out all winter. Or I find, oh, there it is. I find my little trowels and my little shovels buried mm-hmm. under dirt or whatever, and I was looking for that, whether it's so rusted I have to throw them out and get new ones the next year. So it's all part of trying to save money and keep your stuff organized.
Right.
And I know you don't just have to be organized. But all your stuff is in, you know, a place where you remember where it is and you get back, keep getting it. I have, you know, in my place, I have several dogs running around that like to grab tools and bury them in the ground. I found nozzles and trowels and yesterday, one of my really good pairs of pruning shears, I don't know how this dog did it, but she was up pretty well, including the male part. And then one of my favorite comfort, you know, pruning shears, gone like the wind.
Wow.
Anyway, so, you know, of course, we're getting close to running out of time, so I'd like to give the opportunity to you. One thing I'd say before you do the wrap up is that we didn't get a chance really much to talk about canning and preparing some things for the winter. So I think we'll probably go ahead one more time and continue putting your garden to bed and storing your food for the winter part three. And I want to ask you, hopefully you'll be able to join me to wrap this whole topic up next week.
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right, so in summary, go ahead. You got about 3 minutes to kind of summarize this whole thing and also let people know how to get in touch with us if need be.
Okay, well, the other thing I want to say, too, everybody, is that, you know, your fall leaves are coming down. Oh, gosh, rake them up. use them, drag them in a tarp, and take them to your compost pile and just mix them with all your hay and your other materials, you know, and take your lawnmowers, you know, up until when the grass is still high. Don't forget to mow just because it seems like it's cold. That grass needs mowed, you know, until basically there's nothing to mow. And use those basically as a mulch, you know, and put them over your perennial and your bulbs in your beds. And
right,
you don't have
clipping.
To go out, you don't have to go out and buy all those things, you know, just use those things, you know, and cover your pile, you know, get your plastic out, you know, scrub down your tools, get everything ready to put away, like Strava said as well, you know, empty all your outdoor containers, you know, so they don't crack during the winter, hang up your buckets, you know, get your tool shed and your garage and your garden nozzles and all those things and sprinkler attachments and get them ready to put them away. But in the middle of it, you know, take these little notes, you know, and don't forget we still have some beautiful sunshine out there. Enjoy the flowers while you can. You still have quite a few that are still going to be lasting here, your dahlias. And
absolutely.
Till the 1st of November or so or whatever, but you just have to personally decide what is in the best interest of what you need to do and how much care that you want to give to your garden and how you want it to look. So you have to really sit down and go, how do I want my garden to look next year? What were some of the things I would have changed about it this year? How are some of the things I could have done better? And begin to skill yourself, learn, and understand your plants and understand how they work and how they operate through fall to the winter and to prepare them for the spring. So part of that is no different than somebody getting a haircut. When you get a haircut, you got to cut it back. And but it's always going to grow back. It's going to grow back even better if you take care of it and you nourish it. So that
most
would be my business. Huh?
Yeah, if one has, yeah, I agree with that. I was actually was thinking about haircuts all night last night. So it's a good, equates it pretty well. Well, it's so exciting to have you with me on the show, and it's just such a great information, and thank you so much for everything. If you have questions for Rhonda and myself on any of these subjects that we talked about, please write us. You can write to me. I'll forward everything to her at Chef Stuart, that's C-H-E-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O, @hotmail.com. Make sure you can also go to our Chef Stuardo's Food and Mania Facebook page and like us and communicate to us that way as well. And we will be happy to answer your questions and give you some help through this winter and try to get this stuff going. I guess without further ado, next week we will do part 3 of putting your garden to bed, because, like I said, this is a subject that next week we'll concentrate on the food part and the cooking part and how to use all your harvest items to the greatest degree. And we'll also start hinting in terms of some treats that we can make for the kids for the holiday season. Remember, we have the Halloween holiday coming up, which is all about candy and treats. We also have Thanksgiving, which we'll have a great show this year on Thanksgiving, and not to mention the holiday season, Christmas and Hanukkah, and the great meals and food around that. And we hope to be able to bring you some amazing ideas pretty soon. And in another week, it's going to be a little bit longer, but we're hoping in the month of December our show will be able to be Skyped, and you'll be able to tune in that way. We'll give you more information as that takes place and we expand it. Don't forget to tune in to www.1020radio.net for some really cool things and check out what's going on there. And also you can catch our shows on www.ksamvisandvictorrsandrobert.org and check the schedule there for the Stuarter shows and the All Around the World music shows. Which I've been fortunate enough to have Rhonda E. co-host some of those shows as well. So if you like good music, that's a good way to figure it all out. Thank you for being here. Rhonda, I want to say thank you so much, and I hope you have a good weekend.
You too. Enjoy the sunshine.
Yeah, we got a little bit of that out here today. All right, everybody, take it easy. This is Stu Aro for Foodomania. See you next time.
It's time to go. All you gotta do is go, and I'll be there. If you need somebody to love, Feeling sorry and sad, I couldn't simplify.